I'm going to read quite a long bit, but we're not going to think about all of it when I do the teaching. So more reading and concentrating just on a smaller part when we come to look at it. Okay, so I'm starting at Daniel chapter 9 in verse 1. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, that means he's from the Mede country, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commands, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. We and our kings, our princes, and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we've rebelled against him. We've not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law. That means they've gone against it and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled, it means you've kept your promises, you have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing on us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem, just as it is written in the law of Moses. All this disaster has come on us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster on us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our ancestors, iniquities is another word for sin or doing wrong, our sins and the iniquities of our ancestors have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would please keep that open, page 895, because we'll be looking at it. But there's my big tree. Oh, I think that's a bit too far forward. Need to be able to see. Can you see the slides on the front there, ladies? You can see the slide above. Yep, great. Adults and children have been looking through this book of Daniel for the children up at Exeter Road Hall, the adults here, and we've gone through, haven't we, chapters 1 to 8 in previous weeks. And Daniel starts the book. He's far away from his home city of Jerusalem. He's in Babylon. And do you remember in the first chapter, he and his friends don't eat the king's food. They just eat vegetables. But God gives them understanding. They are the wisest. Wise means they understand, they get it. You know how in people in school, when there's a math sum and there's only one or two people in the class can do that math sum. They're the people who get it. And the rest of us are sitting there, how do they do that? Well, wise people get it. They know God and they trust his plan. So they see things better than other people do. They understand better. And Daniel is wise. The great king Nebuchadnezzar has a dream about a statue. Remember that? And he's angry because no one can explain it to him. He gets all his wise men, all the people who've been to the universities in Babylon. There they are, all the people, all his wise men, but none of them can explain it. Only Daniel can explain the dream. There he is. Who gave Daniel wisdom? God did. Yeah, God made Daniel wise. And then Nebuchadnezzar has another dream about a great tree. And do you remember what happens to that great tree? It gets chopped down. That's right. It gets cut down and left and lies on its in the field. And that's a picture of what's going to happen to Nebuchadnezzar. And only one person explains that to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel, because God made Daniel wise. And then Belshazzar, Daniel's Nebuchadnezzar's relative, has a feast when he's the king, and a hand starts writing on the wall, and none of his wise men could explain it. The only person who could explain it is Daniel. Who gave Daniel the understanding? God did. And so Daniel is wise. So in the book of Daniel, we've got these proud rulers like Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. But they look like they're in charge, but actually God's in charge. They're proud. They think they're super, super important, but God's in charge and God takes them away. These proud rulers, Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, they don't understand God's plan, but Daniel does, because God has made him wise. What do wise people like Daniel do? Can we have the first slide that follows on from this, please? I've got multi-choice questions. I'm looking at the beginning of chapter 9 for this question. Does Daniel pray to Darius? Does Daniel pray to Nebuchadnezzar's great statue? He made a statue of gold. Does Daniel pray to God? He prays to God, doesn't he? Let's see that in verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and petition. Petition is another word for asking. Prayer means asking. Petition means asking. In fasting and sackcloth and in ashes, it's a ways of showing that he really meant it. So why does Daniel pray? Next slide. Daniel prays because he's thought up a plan and he needs to tell God. He prays because there's nothing better to do, or he prays because he listens to what God says. Yeah, he listens to what God says. That was actually in verse 2, wasn't it? In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet. So wise men and wise women, wise boys and wise girls like Daniel understand what God says, and that is the thing that we then pray about. Next slide. Here we go. Daniel was reading Jeremiah. He's another messenger of God in the Bible. Let's look what Jeremiah said. Can we have the next slide? Tells us where to go. Jeremiah 25, which page? I hope we've got the page number. Have I not? There we go. 785. Keep a finger in Daniel 9. And we'll just have a look at what Daniel was reading. Maybe it was breakfast time. Maybe it was a lunch break. Maybe it's before he went to bed. He opened up Jeremiah. 785. Which is a big book. And we're just going to see how what Daniel read fits with what Daniel then prayed. So Jeremiah 25, this is what Daniel read. Jeremiah 25, I'm going to read from verse 8. Jeremiah is a messenger for God. Therefore, the Lord Almighty says this, because you have not listened to my words, this is what he's saying to God's people, because you've not listened to my words, I will summon all the peoples of the north and my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, declares the Lord. And I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants and against all the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy them and make them an object of horror and scorn and an everlasting ruin. I will banish from them the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom. That means there'll be no celebrations, no parties like weddings. The sounds of millstones and the light of the lamps, so no working. This whole country will become a desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. But when the 70 years are fulfilled, I will punish the king of Babylon and his nation, the land of the Babylonians, for their guilt, declares the Lord, and I will make it desolate forever. Okay, so you see, that's what Daniel was reading from Jeremiah. And that's where he got this number 70 years. So Daniel is saying in Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, in the first year of his reign, back to page 895. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. That's why he's now praying. He's read his Bible. And he's understood what God's doing, and he knows that's the thing to pray about. The next slide, please, Mark. So wise men, wise women, wise boys, wise girls, listen to God. Oh, sorry, can you go back? That's gone too far. No, it hasn't. No, you're right. You're right, Mark. I'm wrong. Yeah. Okay, Daniel was listening to God. When do we listen to God? Do we listen to God when we're asleep, when we read the Bible, or when we're in Aldi and we hear the customer announcement? When do we hear God speaking to us? Reading the Bible. That's right. So if you leave that up, thanks, Mark, for now. Wise men, wise women, wise boys, wise girls, listen to God's word, his voice, and we hear it in the Bible. So we can do that if you go to Sunday school. And after Sunday school, take your sheets home. Sometimes I see Sunday school sheets left behind. Take them home. You can read them again and learn what you've learned in Sunday school. If you're in for the sermon, that's a way that you can listen to God as his word is explained. Some people find it very helpful to write something down as they're listening to the sermon. You can do that if it helps you remember. Just one thing, perhaps, that's come that you will remember. You can come to growth group in the week where we look at the Bible passage again. And often people say, I didn't understand that part in the sermon. Can you explain it to me? So we do that in growth groups. Or you can ask questions if you don't understand. Last week, one of the tags came and asked me a question, not from the Bible that morning, but from another thing. Do ask questions. Then we can listen to God. Think about it and pray. Wise men and wise women, wise boys and wise girls read the Bible, they think about it, and then they pray. Listen together with others. If you're in a family, you could do this. You could read the Bible together as a family and then think about what it says and then pray about what you've read. That'd be great. Read it before you come on a Sunday to help you to be ready when you come to learn on a Sunday. One person here said that she used to read the Bible passage 2 or 3 days before church on a Sunday and then read it again 2 or 3 days afterwards, just because it took a time to think about it and understand it. That's a great thing you might do. Read the Bible, think about what it says, and that can help us pray. So let's be careful. Sometimes we might read the Bible in a rush, put the Bible down, leave the house, and we've not even thought about it, we've not prayed about it. That's a bit, we've had a lot of water outside today, haven't we? I didn't want to bring any more water inside. But if you pour water into a colander, what happens to the water? Into one of those sieves that you have in the kitchen, what happens to the water? It goes out the bottom. Yeah, if you read the Bible and don't take any time to think about it, any time to pray about it, there's a danger. It'll be like that. Be go in that ear and go out that other one. We can ask questions when we're reading the Bible. What does this chapter help me know about God? What does this sentence help me know about me and other people? Read the Bible, think about it, and pray. Because that's what wise men and wise women, wise boys and wise girls do. We read the Bible and pray. Give me the next slide now, please. So there, that's what we said. Wise men and wise women pray about what they read in the Bible. And the next, wise men and wise women pray for God's plan. They pray for God's plan. Daniel knows about God's plan because he's read about it in the Bible. And so he prays for his plan. And there's two things he prays particularly on the next slide. He prays for forgiveness, ask God for forgiveness of sins, and ask God for people to honor his name. Because that's God's plan. Let's have a look and see how he does that. So chapter 9, verse 16, you have to turn the page. Page 896. Here's part of Daniel's prayer. Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away from your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. So what does Daniel pray? Next slide, three choices. Daniel prays, I know you don't care what we do. Daniel prays, turn away from your anger and your wrath. Or Daniel says, I know, God, you're really pleased with us. Which of those is he praying? Which is it? A, B, or C? A, I know you don't care. B, turn from your anger and your wrath. C, I know you're really pleased with us. Turn away from your anger and your wrath. It's B, that's right, the beginning of verse 16. Why does he ask that? Next question. Daniel prays, turn away from your anger and wrath, because he says, we've now improved. We're better. Does he say, because I'm better than those bad people? Remember the prayer of those two men we learned about earlier in Jesus' story? Does he pray like that? Or does he say, because you're kind like that? Actually, he doesn't use any of those exact phrases, but is anyone clever enough to spot what the real answer is of those three? It is C, isn't it? Let's have a look at what he says in verse 16. Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, that's the kind of God you are. You're kind like that, so please forgive. Not we've got it right. Not we're better than those bad people, but you're a kind God. Please forgive. So that's the first thing he prays. He knows God's plan, so he prays for forgiveness. And then the second thing, he prays for God's name to be honored. Look at verse 17, bottom of the page. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. So what Daniel's praying here is he wants people to think great things about God. And at the moment, they're not, because the city where God's special place is a mess. So they think, oh, there, God's rubbish. Think about what happened in school. Hands up those at school who are willing to tell me the name of your head teacher. Anyone go to school here who can remember the name of their head teacher? Claude. Mr. Huntingford, that's one head teacher. I know him, yes? Who is it? It's Cato? Castle. Right, Miss Castle. So we've got Miss Castle, Mr. Huntingford. Any other head teachers? Someone else might go to a different school. Yes?
Pedro.
Yeah, Mr. Pedro. So you're sitting in your class and someone says, Miss Castle is coming down the corridor. What does everyone in the class do? They sit up. They concentrate. They're pleased that she's come into the class to notice them because they respect her name. They respect her. In a school, when people say, we don't care about the head teacher, that's where the school's getting ruined, isn't it, and spoiled. Anyone here go to work in the week? Not to school, but goes to work. Anyone go to work? Yeah, some of us go to work. Brilliant, we've got jobs. If your boss's boss comes into your office or your workplace, do you just ignore them and carry on? You know, my boss's boss's boss is the Archbishop of Canterbury. If Steve said, hey, Joel, the Archbishop of Canterbury, he's just coming in, I'd say to you, well, look, come on, be really well behaved. We've got to look good. And not just to look good, but let's make sure we do it right because the boss's boss's boss is coming and we care about him. Yes, actually, we don't want to do it just to look good when the boss is there. That is the wrong way of acting. We want to do it whether he's there or not. ignore that part of what I've just said. Please delete that from we want to do it whether he's here or not. But if we respect him when he comes, we'll be pleased. But that's not how people act towards God. People laugh about God's name. If you're a Christian, you talk to people about God, they say, who believes in him? And they make his name into a joke or they use Jesus as a swear word. And Daniel knows that's not right. God's plan is he will forgive the sins of his people. And God's plan is that people will respect God again and respect his name. And so Daniel prays, and wise people like Daniel ask God that people will honor his name. And Daniel answers, Daniel asks that, and God answers his prayer in the rest of the chapter. It's complicated to understand and says too many things. I just want to show you in the two important things. So verse 24, 77 is a decree for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Do you see those things? That's God answering the prayer about dealing with sin. Daniel said, please forgive sin. And God has sent his messenger and answered Daniel and said, yes, in the time to come, it will be dealt with. There'll be no more sin. And we sing a song about that, don't we? There will come a day, a judgment day, the day when all the wicked will be judged and cast away. We sing that song. That's a song that comes from bits of the Bible like this. That's God's plan. So Daniel prayed about forgiveness. And the second thing, Daniel prayed about God's honor. And the answer is in verse 25. Know and understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. Those are strange numbers. Easy to get confused and spend a lot of time thinking about those. But the main part, the clear part, is that God has got a plan for his anointed ruler to come. And who's that? Who is the anointed in Hebrew means Messiah. And anointed in Greek means Christ. So who's this talking about? Who's the anointed one? Jesus. Jesus is going to come. So wise men and wise women, wise boys and wise girls, we will pray about what we read in the Bible. And we will pray for God's plan. Two things Daniel prayed for: forgiveness and that God's name will be honored. We can pray for lots of things. We can pray. I do pray when I'm sick to get better. I hate being sick. We can pray for money to pay the bills. We can pray for God's help in all sorts of things. But if we don't pray for God's plan, we're not really wise people who understand God's world and the way he's doing things. If our prayers are only about the things in our life and we never think about God's great big plan that he's moving the world to, we're not wise people. So let's be wise. God has not promised to heal every sickness. He has not promised to pay every bill. He has not promised to explain every dream. God has promised to forgive sin if we trust him. And he has promised that there will be a day when people will honor his name properly. That's what wise people pray for. So wise men, wise women, wise boys, wise girls, we pray about what we read in the Bible. And we will pray for God's plan. We will ask him for forgiveness of sins. And we will ask him to make people honor him, because that's right and good. Let's have a moment to think about what we've heard. Remember, we don't want to just read the Bible and rush out. Stop, think, and then a minute I'll pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that Daniel gives us shows us what it's like to be a wise person, that he read the Bible and thought about it, and then he prayed about what he read. There's so many bits of the Bible we find hard to understand. Please help us to understand more of it, and help us, please, to pray about the bits we do understand, to talk to you, and ask you to keep the promises we've understood. Thank you, especially for this promise about dealing with our sin and making it a time where it'll all be got rid of and we can be with you perfectly. And as well for a time when people will stop hating you and being rude about your name. Thank you that that's going to come. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.